Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to this special edition AskCast with me, Tim Stillman, looking ahead to Saturday's Continental Tires League Cup final between Arsenal women and Manchester City women at Bramall Lane. What on earth is the Continental Tires League Cup final, I hear you ask? Well, let me explain. The Continental, or it's known as the Conti Cup, really, but whenever I say the Continental Cup, people always ask me if that's some kind of European competition, and it's not. It's just that it's sponsored by Continental Tires. And really what it is a loose equivalent of the League Cup in men's football. It's not strictly a League Cup because only the top two divisions take part in the women's game, because the gap between, say, the second tier and the third and fourth tier is just so pronounced that it would barely even be a competition. And quite frankly, even the gap between the top tier and the second tier is quite pronounced. It starts off with a group stage, and Arsenal had Lewis, Charlton Athletic and Millwall Lionesses in their group, and Arsenal beat Lewis 9-0, Charlton Athletic 5-0, and basically half of their academy team beat Millwall Lionesses 3-1 in a bit of a dead rubber. So it's still not, in its early stages, the most competitive of tournaments, but that's what it is. It's taken the place of the League Cup. It was rebranded in 2011, you know, just as a different form of the League Cup, when the sponsorship all changed and the Women's Super League was launched. They relaunched the League Cup as well in partnership with Continental Tires. So it's the League Cup in all but name, really. And Arsenal, as you are probably no doubt not surprised to hear, are incredibly successful in this competition. Since its 2011 rebrand, Arsenal have won 5 out of the 7 Continental Cups, losing in the final in another one. And prior to the rebrand, they won it 10 times as the League Cup. So they've won it 15 times overall. So Arsenal are quite handy in this competition. I spoke a little bit about what happened in the group stages. Arsenal also played West Ham and beat them, so they went through the group stage with a perfect record. Went into the quarter final and played Birmingham City at home, who are incredibly tough opponent, really, really solid WSL team, and they were 1-0 up until the 84th minute. Thankfully, late goals from Daniel van der Donk and a 93rd minute winner from Vivian Miedema put Arsenal through to the semi-final, where they faced Manchester United, who are in their first year as a women's football team under Casey Stoney. And Arsenal won that game 2-1 thanks to 2 goals from Vivian Miedema, whose name you will hear during this podcast quite often. And so now we're in the final against Manchester City. It's a repeat of last year's final, which Arsenal won 1-0. Do you want to guess who the goal scorer was? Yep, that's right, Vivian Miedema. She scored the winner last year at Wycombe Wanderers, Adams Park. And Arsenal won that game 1-0. In fact, since the Conti Cup was rebranded in 2011, only Arsenal and Manchester City have won it. So Arsenal have won 5 of them, City have won 2 of them. And so that pattern's going to continue one way or another this Saturday. The teams also met in the 2014 final, which Manchester City won 1-0. So, you know, these games are always very, very tight games. Arsenal played really, really well last year and really deserved to win, probably by more than 1 goal against City. But at the time, City had a few players who were struggling with injury, whereas Arsenal didn't. This time around, it's the other way around. Unfortunately, Arsenal have lost quite a few players through injury. You know, Jordan Nobbs tore her cruciate ligament and is out for the season. Dan Carter did that on the last game of last season. We signed new players in the summer, Tabea Kemmer and Vicky Schnaderbeck. from Germany. To be a Kemmer, played for about a minute before getting a recurrence of a knee injury, but Vicky is yet to play. Leah Valti was an ever-present up until a couple of weeks ago, and she's got a knee injury and she's not going to play. And Leah Valti, for my money, even with the form that Vivian Medema's in, Leah Valti, I think, has possibly been Arsenal's best player this season. She plays in front of the back four. And, you know, she's a real... she's fantastic in the tackle. She's got two good feet. She keeps the ball moving. It's impossible to get the ball off of her. And she's been a really big miss since she was injured. And this has kind of been the story for Arsenal in big games this season. They went to Chelsea and won 5-0 in October, which was a bit of a freak result, but you know, it's still a massive statement. And since then, you know, they, even with the injuries, they've got enough to beat most teams. But you know, they lost to Manchester City in December. They didn't have Kim Little, they didn't have Jordan Nobbs. That was too much. They played Chelsea at home in January. They lost 2-1 again. No Jordan Nobbs. Lisa Evans got injured in that game, and you know, that was too much. They lost 3-0 at Chelsea in the FA Cup on Sunday, and they were missing so many players. Leah Williamson, who we're going to talk to in a minute, didn't train the week before that game because she had a virus. Again, no Leah Valti. Lisa Evans was only fit enough for the bench. So Arsenal have just had these injury problems all season, and unfortunately they're not going away for this game, which probably makes Manchester City favourites in truth, but it will probably be another very tight game decided by very small details. By the way, if you want to watch the game, it's taking place at Bramall Lane, Sheffield United's ground. It's a 12:15 kickoff on Saturday. They're doing that because obviously of the 3 p.m. blackout in England, they wouldn't be able to show it at 3 o'clock, so they've gone with a slightly early kickoff. It is live in the UK on BT Sport One, and that means if you're not in the UK, not that we'd encourage you to use illegal streams, but you will probably be able to find one somewhere. So yes, and also what's quite interesting about this game as well is Joe Montemurro. He's very tactically flexible. He changes formations at will. He has a different game plan for every game, a different game plan for every opponent, particularly switches between back three and back four game to game, depending on the opposition. He's really a manager who's is very heavily into video analysis. His assistant manager is a video analyst. And they really look to probe weaknesses of opponents. So it may not be anyone's guess who the starting 11 will be, because there's not much more than 11 fit players. But the shape he plays them in will be very, very interesting to see. And of course, even with the injuries to the likes of Jordan Nobbs, who's a huge, like, I can't really emphasise how big a miss that is. You know, someone who's got a claim to being the best player in the division. It's just a huge miss, but he has got, and Arsenal have got, Vivian Medema up front, and what that means is they are always a goal threat. And again, we're going to talk to Leah Williamson in just a minute about Vivian and the kind of confidence that she gives to the team. It kind of, I usually don't like to draw comparisons to men's football, but it kind of reminds me of Henri in the Invincibles. You know that feeling you had when, even when we weren't playing well and it was 0-0, and you kind of thought, yeah, but Henri's going to score in a minute. So, you know, or if we went a goal down, you'd think, yeah, but we haven't accounted for Omri's goal yet. And that's kind of the feeling that Vivian Medema gives you. And that's one of the many things I'm going to talk to Leah Williamson about in a minute. And I just want to say I'm hugely grateful to Leah for giving up her time, particularly because she's still a little bit croaky in the voice at the moment. And also hugely grateful to Arsenal for helping to set up the interview at London Colney. It really wouldn't have worked in audio at the stadium where I usually interview the players. So I'm hugely grateful to Rebecca James and everyone at Arsenal who let me go down to London Colney and find a quiet room to sit and chat with Leah for 15 minutes. And Leah's, you know, unashamedly probably my favourite interviewee. She thinks very, very deeply about the game. And it's, you know, you have to remind yourself she's 21 sometimes because of the wisdom she speaks with and the experience she's got. And she's a massive gooner as well, as you'll hear all about. So without further ado, let's cross over to London Colney and catch up with Leah Williamson. Okay, welcome back to this Ask Us special building up to Saturday's Continental Tires Cup final between Arsenal women and Manchester City women. I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by Arsenal centre-half Leah Williamson. Leah, thank you very much for joining us.
No worries.
The first thing I wanted to ask was, just for perhaps some of our listeners who don't know your kind of your history with Arsenal, as it were, it's fair to say that you're not just an Arsenal player since you were 8 or 9 years old.
Yeah, nine.
But you've got a bit more history with Arsenal than that.
Yeah, my grandparents on my mum's side are both from sort of London surrounding areas. My granddad was from Camden. Massive Arsenal fan, so it obviously filtered through. We only lost a couple to sort of Liverpool or ever along the way, but literally the whole side of my mum's family is Arsenal through and through. My dad's actually a Tottenham fan, hilarious, so I had a bit of a choice to make. But yeah, I've literally from day one, really, I went to one Tottenham game and chose the right side, I suppose.
Good to hear. And a lot of our listeners probably will barely remember a League Cup game from September 2006 at West Brom, which we won. I was there that night, actually. We won 2-0 with two goals from Jeremy Aliadier. And I'm not sure all of our listeners will remember that, but a special night for you. Would you like to explain why that was a special night for you?
So at the time, I was at the academy. It was my first year at Arsenal Centre of Excellence, and they picked one of us to be a mascot. I don't know if it was random or whatever, but they called my mum and said, does Leah want to be a mascot tonight? And I was a junior gunner as well, so obviously you're sitting there waiting for your day, hopefully, to get selected, and then mine come along. But we were actually holidaying in Bude in Cornwall. Mm-hmm. So hilarious, we drove from Cornwall to the game just so I could be a mascot, and then went back and had our holiday at the end of it. So yeah, it was really nice, actually, being an Arsenal fan and everything growing up. So yeah, it's special for me.
And of course there is that photo lives on of you and Theo Walcott. Yeah. Together. I'm not sure who looks younger out of the two of you in it, actually.
It's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. Yeah, at the time he was just like sort of, he was relatively fresh to Arsenal, so I was like, oh my God, picture with Theo. That's on my grandma's fridge, so.
Nice. And we're recording this on the Tuesday before the Saturday game, and on Monday evening the squad went out together, courtesy of Petr Cech, is that right?
Yeah. Possibly the loveliest man in football. Basically, he just sort of recognised that we were having a really good season and wanted to sort of, you know, sort of celebrate with us and spend some time with the team. So fair play to him. He came on his own. His family are away on holiday, and he took us out just for a meal. But it was really nice of him. Just have a chat away from the training ground and stuff. But yeah, obviously, really grateful to him for that, but it just sort of shows how good of a season we're having, that we're sort of turning heads and stuff like that.
That's great to hear. And obviously, final coming up on Saturday. You're still not 22, and this is your seventh final.
Is it really?
With Arsenal, yes. So, and obviously for you, you had your first one in your hometown when you were 17. There have been a couple at Wembley. As you get kind of more seasoned in the build-up to a final, does it become easier? Does it become easier to treat it like another game, or is there always that kind of that kind of special atmosphere around the build-up to a final?
I'm really terrible with games. I normally don't even know who we're playing the next weekend until I walk into the tactical meeting. Just because, you know, playing at a club like Arsenal, you normally focus on yourself anyway, and then we focus on our team. But when a final's coming up, it is such a big thing, and even your family, that how it feels for them is obviously different from a normal day and stuff. So there's always that special atmosphere, like you say, and there's always something a bit more, you know, just more about the game leading up to it. But to be honest, like, when I was younger, I used to want to hide away from those games, especially coming into the first team. You know, it is nerve-wracking, it's horrible, but the more you do it, the more comfortable you are for the next one and the next one. And I mean, I can't believe I've actually been in 7 finals. So I've been really fortunate to get that experience, because some people wait their whole life for it, and then by the time it comes, you know, it's your first one, you're inexperienced, and sort of passes you by. So a couple have passed me by, but I'm really excited for this one at the weekend.
And obviously it's a repeat of last year's final, and in recent years Arsenal have been a bit of a cup team. And after last year's final, beating Manchester City 1-0, I remember Joe kind of gave the kind of team talk in the huddle where he kind of said, look, this is Arsenal, this is about getting back to winning, this is about this being the beginning. Yeah. Do you think that game perhaps helped create some of the momentum and the conditions that have meant this year, for the first time in a few years, Arsenal are really challenging and arguably in the box seat in the title race?
100%. As you say, we did become sort of a cup team. You know, every year I've been here, I've managed to bring home silverware, but we haven't won the league, and we've always been too far away. This is the first year that we've put ourselves in a position where we're still sort of, we're not playing catch up. We are in the driving seat, and we want it to stay that way. Obviously, we've got a couple of games in hand that we need to win to put us on top of the table. We're not quite there yet, but. You know, we're very much aware of what we have to do to bring home that trophy this year, which is just a position we've not been in the last six years, really. So when Joe came in, obviously our performance drastically sort of changed. We had one loss to Chelsea last season, just after Christmas. And then from there, you know, we really, really picked up some momentum. The cup final was one of those games. But yeah, it was important, because a team like Arsenal needs to be feared, or at least respected. And I think it almost come a bit wish-washy. You know, will they, won't they? And I just think that put a bit more of a cemented, you know, no, this is Arsenal. We are who we are. We're back to the way, you know, we want to play and stuff like that. So yeah, I think Joe was a perfect fit for us. The performance is delivered. With the philosophy that he brought in, and that game was the start for me, because since then we really have, well, you've seen it, you know, the performances have drastically changed.
And I listened to an interview you did a couple of weeks ago with the UEFA website, I think, where you were asked about Vivian Medema.
Yeah.
And you used quite a nice phrase that was, if you give her something, she'll score. If you give her nothing, she'll probably still score.
Yeah.
Which, and as a defender particularly, how much confidence does it give you knowing that, you know, if Arsenal keep a clean sheet, there's an excellent chance they'll win? There's a lot of good goal scorers in the team, but I think Vivian Medema is something else.
Oh, 100%. Being the same age as Viv, I've sort of grown up, you know, like not playing against her sometimes, but she's always been sort of there, and I've always been very aware of the talent that she is because of how much people have always spoken about her and how highly they have spoken of her. But yeah, she's just incredible in front of goal. What makes me laugh is that the way that we play here, and we, you know, we try to deliver a ball for her in the box to tuck away. But you know, this is Viv, and the talent that she has, she could score from anywhere, whenever she wanted. That, you know, that's the sort of feeling you get about her. And as you say, if anything, the reason I've been disappointed in some of our performances is because we know if we do keep a clean sheet, we've got a great chance of winning the game, because if not Viv, there's a whole host of people waiting to take that role on. But she's a goal scorer, and I think when you're going into a cup final and games like that, where you know that both teams are going to be at a really high level, and it's going to come down to a bit of magic. You see last year as a perfect it's literally a perfect example of that moment, because that was almost half a chance and she created the easiest goal scoring chance she could. So she's incredible, and especially for, like I say, I know if I do my job, she's going to do hers.
And we spoke a little bit about what it's like to build up in a kind of cup final week. And unfortunately, I feel like whenever I talk with one of the players or with Joe this year, the subject of injuries always comes up, because been so dominant. You know, some of the injured players, some of whom are in their first season and are going to miss the game on Saturday, which is a huge shame for them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, people like Jordan and Dan who are going to miss out as well. Mm-hmm. What's it like for them at the moment, and how are they, I don't want to say dealing with the build up, but how are they staying integrated, or are they, you know, or are they not staying integrated for their own good almost?
I think it's funny, we had a conversation yesterday where, you know, it's hard being an injured player when we're in a situation like we are. We desperately need people to come back to full fitness, and our squad is wearing thin at the minute. But there's nothing they can do to help other than get themselves fit, really. Mm. So in a good environment, in a professional environment, which is what we have, and where the players all know what the goal is, those girls share the same goal as us. They just have to work on it in a different way. They spent hours in the gym. You know, it's one of those things, you look as a fit player, a healthy player, and you think, I don't actually know if I could do that, because it just looks like the hours that they put in are just 10 times more than us, kind of thing. Every single time I walk into the gym, there will be somebody in there just sort of, you know, grafting away and trying to get themselves back fit. But for the final on Saturday, everybody's travelling, the whole squad, injured or not. We'll spend, you know, the night there on the Friday and the build up. And like you say, we're a team that this is just the beginning, effectively, of this sort of new era, if you want to call it that. So it's important that they're at least there and they at least feel how we feel and the whole team's together, because hopefully this is going to be the first final of many for the people in this squad. Even, you know, like you say, it's been terrible luck that some of the girls haven't even, it's their first year and it would have been the first final. But yeah, we're going down together. We'll stay together. You know, we are a team and that's what we do. But ultimately, those girls know that they just need to get themselves back as quick as possible for them, for their sakes, but also for ours. So yeah, we've got quite a good understanding at the moment that we leave them to, it's almost us leaving them to do their thing.
Yeah.
And supporting them for when they can come back, because ultimately right now we need the help on the pitch and they can't offer that to us yet.
And we know Joe's fairly flexible in terms of formations, probably hasn't had the opportunity with selections as much this season, but we know he likes to tweak things in terms of having a different game plan for every game.
Yeah.
As we talk 3-4 days before the final, and obviously there's a game tomorrow night as well, and a very big game, but do you know yet from Joe what the game plan might be, or do you know, and I'm not asking you to tell me, obviously, but do you have an idea of what the starting lineup and the starting formation might be yet?
I think due to injuries and stuff, I think it's probably not the hardest thing in the world to pick our starting lineup at the minute. But generally, Jovo is just as important of a game tomorrow night in terms of, like I say, bringing home that league trophy, so, and the title. So we'll deal with tomorrow, and then obviously we'll get back to work straight away for Saturday. But yeah, obviously, like I say, it's a cup final, so of course it's in the forefront of our minds, and I think we have a good idea of what we're going to do. But work will start for that after Yeovil, and hopefully tomorrow we can sort of use it as a you know, sort of getting the outcomes that we really need to build into the week. But ultimately, a good performance tomorrow hopefully means that we'll take that into Saturday.
And obviously for Manchester City as well, they've got threat all over the pitch, really, but particularly on the counter with the likes of Nikita Parrish, Georgia Stanway, who when we played them in December kind of you know, had some fun on the counter attack.
Yeah.
How difficult is it to deal with that kind of threat, particularly with really quick players like that?
I always think as a defender, I think it's one of the most, it's the position on the pitch, I think, that you use your head the most and your body the least out of everybody. And I think as a defender, you can always sort of gamble and hope that you get one up on your striker. But when it comes to obviously pace and things like that, it really is down to what, you know, it's nature, isn't it? So unfortunately, when you're playing against somebody with pace, it does change the game a little bit, because you have to make wiser decisions because you know they can hurt you. But I think if we're organised and as a team that likes to press, hopefully we can get some good pressure on the ball like we did last year, and then that sort of limits that threat. But yeah, when it comes down to pace, and we have it in our team, so we know what we can do to other people. So we're very aware of their threat, but hopefully, like I say, that won't even come into it at the weekend, because we'll be organised and we'll be pressing hard.
And a final question, obviously Arsenal and Manchester City are probably, well, they are the two biggest kind of players in the title race this season, and Chelsea are kind of there or thereabouts, but really it looks like it's between Arsenal and Manchester City. Mm-hmm. Do you think Saturday's game, whichever way it goes, could have any kind of psychological impact on the title race?
No, I don't. I think Manchester City being as professional as they are, us being as professional as we are, I think that it's a one-off game, and that's generally what it is, and whoever takes home the trophy, you know, has had a successful day. And I think the good thing is that the international break comes straight after for both teams, because I know that they'll want to push on with their sort of title hopes as well. So I think the fact that it is before the international break, it'll be a one-off this week, we'll go into it, and then after that, both of us, regardless if we win or lose, we'll have to crack on, basically. There is no time to sort of rest or celebrate or drown your sorrows, whatever the result is. So I think, obviously, when you play teams, for example, Chelsea probably had a little bit more confidence at the weekend just because of the previous result, as you probably would. But I think we know what women's football's like, and especially in the WSL, there's not that many games and anything can change all the time. So if you lose focus for one of those games, you know, you're shafting yourself, really. So I think that's why tomorrow is the most important thing right now. And then as soon as that's put to bed, then the cup final will be. And I think I would like to think, as a professional setup, that they would be thinking the same thing.
Okay, Leah, thank you very much. And
no worries.
All the best on Saturday, and hopefully speak to you again with the trophy tucked under your arm on Saturday.
Let's hope so.
Thank you very much.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
And a massive thank you to Arsenal defender Leah Williamson for joining us on this Askcast special, not least because when I introduced the idea of doing a bit of an audio interview for a podcast, she was slightly dubious because poor Leah's been under the weather a little bit this past week and hasn't had much of a voice. But I think you can see why, when you listen to her speak, why I kind of insisted that we push ahead, because she's always been such a great interviewee. You know, sometimes you have to remind yourself that she's 21 years old. She's not 22 until next month. Both when she speaks and when she plays, you have to remind yourself of her age, because she's been around for so long. She's got over 100 Arsenal appearances. To reiterate, Saturday will be her 7th cup final as an Arsenal player before her 22nd birthday. This is an extraordinary young player we're talking about, and when she speaks as well, it's really clear that she, you know, she really analyses situations very quickly and very perceptively. I, you know, often speak to her seconds after the final whistle's gone at a game, and she's already kind of got locked in her head what's happened, why it's happened, what should have happened. You know, she's very, very keen like that, and obviously the end of her playing career is some years away yet, but I think she's got a real future as an analyst if she wants to, or to be a coach, because she's got a really, really, not just a great football brain, she's incredibly smart, and I really think that came across in this interview. She's very wise beyond her years, and I think a really undervalued figure in women's football in England. I don't know if it's just because everybody knew about her from such a young age that I feel like she's almost taken for granted in terms of her talent. For my money, and yeah, maybe I'm a bit biased, she for me is the best centre half in the country. And I think she has been for the last year or so, and yet she's never really spoken about in those terms. And I just wonder if it's because her talent became so obvious from a young age that people almost don't notice it. But you know, she's an extraordinary footballer, and you know, a nice person as well. And I think That really came across, and I think you can see why I wanted to speak to Leah, particularly in a kind of podcast setting. And, you know, obviously, as you heard, big Arsenal fan too, big kind of history with Arsenal, absolutely loves this club. I interviewed her recently after her 100th appearance, and, you know, she started crying because, you know, she really, really loves this football club, which is fantastic for Arsenal, and hopefully it means she has a really long future here. So I hope you enjoyed this episode, this kind of, at the moment, a bit of a one-off, but, you know, if it gets millions and millions of downloads, perhaps we'll consider doing something like that again. But to reiterate, the Conti Cup final between Arsenal women and Manchester City women takes place this Saturday, the 23rd of February. It's being played at Bramall Lane, so if you're in the area, you know, do go down and buy a ticket. I'm sure they'll be available on the door. I think they're about £10 for adults and £3 for children. Arsenal are also running coach travel to the game if you're in North London and fancy travelling up. And the game's on BT Sport One, and obviously on Arseblog News, we will have all of the build up. This podcast forms part of that, obviously. The usual match preview will go out on Friday. We'll also have an additional article detailing how the girls got to the final, and that will come out on Friday morning as well. And we'll have exclusive player reaction on the site on Saturday afternoon after the game, hopefully when Arsenal are hoisting the trophy once more. But let's see. Hope you enjoyed this episode. And, you know, good luck to Joe Montemurro and the girls on Saturday.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.